Well, welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and great to be back with you this weekend, or this week, after a great weekend. A variety of topics this week. We're going to cover some things that we might call hot topics this week, as well as a number of other things. Today, we're going to be talking about the issues surrounding Boy Scouts and scouting today, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. I'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, and if you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit our website, kfuoam.org. Go to the sponsor section and click on the Concordia University Wisconsin logo there, and you can find out a lot more information about Concordia University. Well, joining us in the studio today as we get into the topic of Boy Scouts in America and the recent decision and what that means for us, lots of questions, and obviously raises questions for everyone on every level who's involved with Boy Scouts. So joining us in the studio today, we have Reverend Dr. Mart Thompson from Zion Peavely. Welcome, Pastor Thompson.
Nice to be here, Andy.
And also joining us is Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, LCMS Director of Church Relations. Welcome, Dr. Culver.
It's great to be here.
So both of you have a background in scouting and also in the church. Pastor Thompson, tell us a little bit about your relationship with scouting and then how far back that goes, and also then what you do as a pastor and other involvement in the church.
Yes, my journey with scouting started back in Springfield, Missouri at Trinity Lutheran Church, where I grew up and was a member of Troop 31, and went through scouting as a youth and found it very beneficial to me. And then reunited with scouting when my boys got to scouting age, I was called to Zion Lutheran in Peavely, which has charter scouting organizations, a scout troop, and got involved there with the local troop, and then was asked by the Missouri District President to also be involved with our area Lutheran Association of Scouters. And so I've been involved with scouting both as a youth and as an adult on the local level, and then a little bit on the council level. This past summer, I was blessed to be able to serve as a Lutheran chaplain at Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico, mm-hmm. at the National Boy Scout Camp there. And so have a lot of interest in scouting.
Excellent. So quite a background, quite an involvement in scouting. And so you serve as Zion Peavely. Anything else you do in the church? And you said you also, in the Missouri District, work with the scouting organizations. And you're also an instructor, correct, or a professor?
Well, I do some guest teaching at Concordia Seminary. I enjoy doing that on a part-time basis. I believe that teaching pastoral theology by a parish pastor can have a positive impact on the education of future pastors, and so I enjoy doing that on a part-time basis while really I'm a full-time parish pastor, which is what I love to do.
So you stay pretty busy as parish pastor in a variety of things. So, Dr. Culver, tell us a little bit about yourself, your involvement with scouting, and then also what you do, what your role is.
All right, well, my involvement with scouting is primarily through my son, who is involved in the scouts, and my wife is heavily involved with Troop 313, which is near St. Paul de Pere, which was founded in 1944, which happens to be the year that the Missouri Senate said that scouting was okay. So my involvement's primarily in that area. I don't have a lifelong journey through scouts like some others do. My father and brother, though, both did the full range of scouting opportunities. So it's been a part of my background or part of my and the peripheral for myself. I guess an interest of this for me is what is the relationship of the church to scouting? And as director of church relations, there's some aspect of that involves my job. And then as we talk to other church bodies, such as the Wisconsin Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and other churches in America, we're interested in, of course, what is their reaction towards scouting, particularly the latest decisions.
So we've got a lot to talk about probably in the next hour or so. Obviously, we won't resolve everything. There are lots of things to discuss surrounding this topic. But let's look at the history of the Boy Scouts in America. And we may look at some other groups as well. But let's talk about the Boy Scouts of America and really their history. Pastor Thompson, you probably know a little bit more about that.
Well, I do know that we're over a century old, 103 years, and it started as a movement in this country that took off very fast. And the mission that the Boy Scouts state for themselves is that they want to prepare people, and I'm quoting from their new membership standards resolution, want to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. Scouts are organized with a chartering organization owning the unit, and that is oftentimes a church, and that's how my involvement has been in there with our Lutheran churches, having had an historic relationship, as was mentioned, started really back in the 1940s for us, even though scouting is older than that. But the chartering organization then operates the troop or the pack or the venturing crew, as it may be, and they provide a place for the scouts to meet, and then the opportunity for some direction in the scouting program.
So a congregation certainly can be a charter, but other organizations can also, or other communities can start can charter a...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. They can be schools, they can be various auxiliary organizations, that kind of thing.
And Pastor Culver, you mentioned it was in the 40s that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod said it was okay, that scouting was okay. What was the situation? Do you know anything about the situation prior to that, or what our view was prior to that?
There was a concern that scouting could lead to unionism and syncretism, that there was an uncertainty about, did the Scout Oath pledge allegiance to a generic sort of God that isn't the true Christian God. There was, I believe, some concern, is scouting anything like lodges, which the Missouri Synod still to this day says is not proper for members to join. And we had the Synodical Conference, the Wisconsin Synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Slovak Synod, and Missouri were, at least initially, when scouting first began, were very leery of it. Wisconsin Synod, in particular, was concerned that merit badges would be seen as a way of earning salvation, meriting good works or doing, doing a good turn, and somehow that would... people would begin to think that this was a way of earning salvation.
And is it?
I don't believe that is, that merit badges, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod never argued that.
Yeah.
So even within the Synodical Conference, there was a disagreement on exactly what this meant and what was right and wrong about it. I think... in light of some of the recent scouting decisions, some of the concern that these other Lutheran groups had at the time, you can at least appreciate why they might have been concerned back in the 20s and 30s and 40s when scouting really took off in America. And maybe they were prophetic in some sense about what might happen.
So... We've got a history. The LCMS has a history with scouting. We have congregations that are chartered. What does it look like? What's the landscape look like today in terms of charters in LCMS congregations? Any idea what that looks like? Pastor Culver?
I don't know the exact statistics. I know there's there's a few larger troops that are chartered out of Missouri Synod. I do believe that, unfortunately, in some cases... while the Missouri Synod congregation might be the chartering agency or the chartering entity, in some cases the congregation itself or the school itself is not actively involved. And so while technically it's the chartering agency, you have people outside of the church basically running the troop.
That's often the case today. You can have member-only Lutheran-only troops. You can technically have that. I don't know of any that we have. There used to be Roman Catholic-only troops and Latter-day Saints-only troops, and I think there are still some of the Latter-day Saints only troops. Their membership was restricted to that particular church, that particular religious denomination. But once if you declare that yours is open to anybody joining it, even though it's chartered by your church, then you allow other people who are not members of your church to be part of the scouting organization there. And most of our, in fact, I don't know of any of our LCMS churches that that operate in any other way than that. And I think that is correct that over time, a lot of these churches have taken less and less ownership in their scouting units. And so they kind of operate separate from the church, even though the church is the chartering organization.
So it's open to the community. It's open to anyone, and not just the boys, but the leadership could be open to anyone as well, correct?
That's correct.
What are the benefits that you see that scouting has provided? What are the good things that have come out of scouting in your experience, Pastor Thompson?
Well, personally, the wonderful opportunity you have for leadership development in scouting. It's set up with a patrol system within the troop where you have the scouts that are earning badges, but they're also taking on positions of responsibility that where they learn by managing and organizing and leading other boys or adventuring other boys and girls. And there they develop in ways that you often don't have opportunity in our society. Where youth can learn to lead other youth, and then that trains them to be leaders later on. Also, scouting, with the exception of the recent membership standards decision, I think in most all phases really takes a good, strong moral stand for what is right and wrong and how people should act and behave and that kind of thing. The role of the benefit to the church as a chartering organization is something that, as I talk to other pastors and congregations, I try to help them realize that there is a potential there, and the scouts are upfront about this being okay. And that is that if you charter a scouting unit, you can profess what you believe and teach within that scouting unit. While you can't require the members of the scouting unit to join your church or to also say, you know, require they have certain religious beliefs to join your organization or your church, you can use that as a platform to promote your beliefs. You can also, as we do at Zion, use it as a means of inviting other people who perhaps don't have a religious affiliation or a home church to really give consideration to joining your church. And we've seen quite a bit of growth in our church through our scouting organizations that we charter, just by being present, by offering those invitations, and by the stands that we take as a congregation.
Pastor Culver, what benefits have you seen?
Well, I think the premise of scouting is to make people good citizens in the country. So there's leadership elements taught in scouting, which couldn't be very beneficial for the person. If you've ever been to an Eagle Scout Court of Honor, you hear of all of the professions that Eagle Scouts and Boy Scouts have become, and frequently clergy are among them, as well as politicians and other high-profile positions in our society. You also have this element of being reverent, recognizing that religion is important to being a good citizen. So the scouting program, I think, in part was designed to help people be good, productive citizens as a part of society. And then when you couple that with a religious element chartered or sponsored by a Lutheran congregation, there could be very many positive elements to the program. I do believe churches and congregations used it as a, I don't want to say as an outreach tool precisely, but it did lead to outreach and people becoming more aware of that congregation.
In a society where everything around us usually drives us to be consumers rather than producers. It sounds like what you're saying is that scouting is really intended to guide young people to be productive and to be producers rather than more producers than consumers, to be productive and contribute to society rather than just sitting back and consuming everything.
That's a good analysis. Yeah.
And that's certainly what it's kind of countercultural in a sense. And here we are facing a cultural issue.
Well, in this, in this book from 1944 on scouting in the Lutheran Church, they have all sorts of projects that the pastor could encourage the Boy Scouts to do, such as building small churches in the woods, I think little chapels, bookcases and bookshelves for the church's bookstore, helping with Sunday school. They also had a thing they could volunteer as elders or ushers in the church. So there's all sorts of activities. And I think the Lutheran badge back when required something like 150 service hours. And I think anyone who's familiar with the current scouting rules, 150 hours is far exceeds what's required for most badges today.
Yeah, that was called the Pro Deo et Patri, and I earned that badge. And it took a long time. We talked about how it was about as difficult to earn that as it was the Eagle Scout Award. So, although the religious emblems program today is pretty extensive, it's divided into four parts instead of just the one as it was back then. So it encompasses Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And the one that's the closest connection to the Pro Deo et Patri, or God and Country, as it's translated into English from the Latin, is the God and Church phase of that. And it is pretty extensive still. But you're right, the service hours are less than that, that's for sure.
So there are certainly a lot of benefits to scouting, as we can see, and there are congregations that are involved that have chartered so it can lead to productive youth. It can lead to opportunities to tell the good news about Jesus in your community, invite people to the congregation. There are certainly benefits. Now let's get to the hard stuff. What happened this spring? What unfolded this spring? Pastor Thompson, you're probably pretty involved in that, and then we'll come to Pastor Colfer as well.
Well, it's hard to get some real clear definition of this, so I'll preface this by saying this is my assessment based on what I've been able to find, okay? But what happened was that there's been pressure, I think everyone knows this, for a number of years by certain politically active groups to try to get the Boy Scouts to remove their restriction against homosexual membership. And the Scouts successfully fought a court case that went all the way to the Supreme Court and was found in favor of the Scouts at that time, saying that they had the right to set their own membership standards. And that could include then the prohibition against homosexual Scouts and Scouters. Scouters refers to Scout leaders. There's been increasing pressure over the years, more and more court cases, especially some coming from very liberal-leaning courts, that has put more pressure on the Scouts, along with a lot of major corporate donors. And so that all kind of was one part of what moved them in this direction. Another aspect of it was the stories of Scouts who were removed from scouting because of sexual orientation questions, and a sincere desire to try to help and serve all young people, including those who may have some questions and confusion even about sexual orientation issues in our culture today. They originally wanted to just open a dialogue with their major chartering religious partners, the church bodies that are very involved in scouting, and just to talk about, okay, how can we constructively address all these issues? And that was scooped by a major news organization who then turned it into kind of a political agenda, with the help, of course, or being driven by politically active groups that want to force scouting into a particular position. And that led to a firestorm of activity, and they're having to make a decision on this, which they did last May.
Pastor Culver?
Well, you excuse me, you also had other factors such as members on their board from major U.S. corporations that had certain policies regarding sexual discrimination, who are also pushing this with the Boy Scouts. One of the unfortunate aspects, I believe, is that the sexuality question, just even statistically, the number of boys questioning their sexual identity, I think, is extremely tiny. So now you're taking a program that was designed to make people productive citizens and sexualizing it along with the rest of the culture.
So that really kind of opens. It wasn't. Would you say prior to this, it wasn't a topic that was that was really addressed much in the Boy Scouts?
It really never came up. I mean, this issue didn't arise from within scouting, with the exception of a few isolated instances. It came from the larger cultural agenda that's going on. And I think if you look at the way the resolution is stated, you know, the whole purpose of Scouts and how they addressed it was to try to take this issue out of, of the discussion, because it wasn't going away from the culture with their pressure. And so they tried to craft a resolution that would, I think they believe, not compromise what scouting stands for, not being a tool of a particular political agenda, and to try to keep focused on what their mission is.
So the resolution, I want to get back to that, and I know we've got to take a break here in about 2 minutes. What does the resolution actually look like? How did, from your perspective, Dr. Culver, your thoughts on the resolution so far?
Well, what I think it was a compromise statement that, as Pastor Thompson said, they were trying to preserve what they believed was the essence of scouting. The unfortunate result is it has the potential to alienate a lot of religious groups, which were the primary charter holders in the Boy Scouts, for they caved to cultural pressure in this case. An interesting side effect of this, remember we had the Supreme Court talking about the defense of marriage, and several lawyers told me that the Boy Scout decision to open their membership to homosexuals would likely influence the Supreme Court to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, because the Supreme Court actually looks to these cultural, cultural signposts, and the Boy Scouts changing their position indicated to the courts that maybe it's time for the courts to change their position as well. So it has a feedback effect upon itself.
Mm-hmm. When we come back from the break, I want to go to Pastor Thompson and find out more about your thoughts about the resolution and how you perceive that. If we're talking with Pastor Mark Thompson and Pastor Al Culver today about the issues surrounding scouting here on Faith and Family. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us here in the studio at area code 314-821-0850. Or if you're outside of the St. Louis area, call us at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. We hope you'll stick around for this important topic here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Darla Allgood was only 17 when she became pregnant and made a loving adoption plan for her son. While at the hospital, she begged nurse Daniela Walters to hold the infant and tell him goodbye. Daniela said yes, even though it broke the hospital rules. Darla eventually married the father of this infant boy, and they had four additional sons. It's really funny how God works his plan of love for us. Daniela, the hospital nurse who wasn't supposed to even be at work that night so long ago, had a daughter who married the infant who was adopted. Daniela ultimately figured things out, and now they have one big happy family who shares grandchildren and many other family joys. Imagine the loss had Darla chosen to have an abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
If the primary purpose of Jesus' incarnation was to die for the sins of the world, then why did he pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me"? Live Monday on Issues, Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about Jesus praying in the garden from Matthew chapter 26.
Issues, Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
If you're on Facebook, you know that it connects you with people, places, and things all around us. One of those connections is right here inside your radio. Worldwide KFUO has a Facebook page, and you're invited to like us on Facebook, as well as take a look at some of the things going on behind the scenes at the radio station. You'll find interesting and informative links, photos, and videos. We'll post upcoming events as well. Look us up. The address to the page is www.facebook.com/KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us today as we're talking about the issues surrounding scouting here in the USA and the recent decision that happened back in the resolution that was passed back in May. I want to say thanks to our sponsor, to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, just visit our website, kfuoam.org, and go to the sponsor section there. Click on that and you can it'll take you right to the Concordia University, Wisconsin website. You can learn all about Concordia University, Wisconsin there. So joining me in the studio today, we have Reverend Dr. Mart Thompson from Zion Peavely, and also Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, Director of LCMS Church Relations. So we're discussing a very important issue. It seems like a very hot topic, obviously, this year, and ever since the resolution that passed in May. And before we went to break, we got Dr. Culver's perspective. Pastor Thompson, what's your perspective on the resolution that BSA passed in May?
Okay. In preparation to answer that question, I'd like to define that I see, as we look at the decision, the membership standards decision by the Boy Scouts, that there's kind of three issues for us, and we're trying to digest this. Number one, is this a good move by the BSA, by the Boy Scouts of America? Number two, can Christians still support scouting in light of this membership standards change? And number three, can LCMS congregations still in good conscience charter scouting organizations? Those are three issues that are distinct and related. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it was a good move by the BSA to do this, as Dr. Culver brought up, you know, how this influences the culture and what this says about the culture and all those kind of things, you know, we might have some real strong reservations about some of those, this move or the things that led to this move and that kind of thing. But that is a separate issue. Can Christians still support scouting? And then can LCMS congregations still charter scouting units in good conscience?
All tough questions that we really have to work through, really.
Right, right. And I think one of the things to keep in mind as we look at this is that scouting is a religiously pluralistic organization. Now, there's a new organization that's being started right now where they want to make it religiously Christian, a youth organization or evangelical Christian, really, as kind of the, you know, your community church type theologies and that kind of thing. And that's called On My Honor. And that would restrict membership to people who were confessing Christians according to a certain set of beliefs, and sexual orientation is a real important part of that in this new On My Honor organization. We've had some Lutheran scouting organizations over the years and continue to. There's one called Lutheran Rangers, and that restricts membership to Lutherans. And so you subscribe to the creeds and confessions of the Lutheran Scouts. And Dr. Culver, what was the Wisconsin Synod's organization?
They call them Pioneer Scouts.
Pioneer Scouts in the Wisconsin Synod. But again, membership is restricted based on the religious beliefs of those denominations. In scouting, you have a requirement for a belief in God, but that's the extent of it.
And that's undefined.
It's undefined. You have to have some kind of belief in God to be a member of the Boy Scouts. And that's why I say it's religiously pluralistic. Within scouting, though, they have historically affirmed all the different religious groups' right to teach according to their creeds and confessions. So at large scouting gatherings, we have Lutheran church services. We sponsor Lutheran chaplains. As I said before, Lutheran-sponsored or chartered troops can portray and profess what they believe to their scouting unit, but we can't restrict membership based on a person's personal religious preference unless we have a Lutheran-only troop, as I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, can we take a quick look at the resolution then?
Sure.
All right. The specific change that has taken place from this resolution is that there is they removed the restriction. I'll put it this way. They removed the restriction that had forbidden homosexual boys who believed they had a homosexual orientation, from being part of the BSA. That had been a restriction, and they removed that. Now, the restriction still is in place for adult scouters. They're not allowed to have adult leaders who profess to have a homosexual orientation. They are not allowed to be leaders, and there's a whole different set of standards for adult leaders than there are for scouts. By the way, that indicates, while that may be a compromised position, it also indicates that the BSA didn't simply cave to an activist agenda that's trying to push a particular belief on us. All right. When you look at the resolution, you see that it reaffirmed the prohibition against sexual activity of any kind in scouting. And scouting has stated and continues to state that does not believe in any kind of premarital sexual activity, and any sexual activity of any kind is not allowed in scouting. The resolution also reemphasized that scouting does not allow the promotion of a particular political agenda. So while they remove the prohibition against sexual orientation clause, they said that this is not supporting or endorsing a particular agenda. It's just saying that someone who believes they have that orientation can still be a part of scouting. Now, the big question is, does this resolution overturn the longstanding BSA policy that allowed the Missouri Synod to be involved back in 1944. And Dr. Culver can speak more to that here in a moment, I think. But that that policy said that the authority of the local pastor in the congregation could not be superseded in any way by the scouting program. And so if we are able to continue to teach and profess that what we believe to be true regarding sexual orientation, and that is only the biblical understanding of marriage and sexuality, then in that case, if the resolution is interpreted in that way, it perhaps does not present a crisis of conscience for a Christian supporting scouting and LCMS congregations continuing to charter scouts. So that's a pretty, I know that maybe get into a little bit of detail there.
Sure.
But those kind of things are kind of what are at the heart of this issue.
Sure. Pastor Culver, we want to get to you. And then Herman, hang on the line there. We'll get to you as soon as we get to Dr. Culver's response here.
Well, I just wanted to comment on scouting does not supplant the church. And this is from the manual that came out, again, starting in 1944. The scouting program does not supplant the church, home, school, or any other agency, but supplements them and is so conducted that there is a proper subordination as far as scouting is concerned. Scouting is a program of boys' activities well conducted and well serviced. Scouting is used as a means to an end in the Lutheran Church, as are all organizations, and not as an end in itself. The church, through its pastor as scout chaplain, spiritualizes the movement, adding the Christian element without the program, without which the program is not complete. So one of the questions then comes up is the pastor actually serving as the scout chaplain? And I think in many, many cases that is no longer the case. And that, unfortunately, would probably be our own fault, that we've allowed ourselves to withdraw from that program and not serve as a chaplain. And so in that absence, what has come and filled that void? And that's a different question.
That's interesting. I see a parallel in family life as well. Here on, you know, Faith and Family, we talk about a variety of issues that pertain to the family. But in family life, parents have kind of withdrawn from that spiritual responsibility as well and abdicated the responsibilities to someone else who may be, in their eyes, more qualified to handle those things. It's interesting how in our culture we step back from those responsibilities and let someone else handle it or nothing happens, really. Let's go to Herman in Illinois. Thanks for hanging in there, Herman. What's your question for us today?
Yes, I'm just maybe rephrasing what your line of discussion. The resolution by the Boy Scout Council allowing young people, boys with homosexual propensities, orientations to be members, removing the prior clause that prohibited it, does that overrule a local Christian church congregation that would have a stand that, in effect, still kept that in place? And would that local congregation in sponsoring a troop have its place honored and have standing to keep that type of restriction in place?
Good question. I'm not sure if we have an answer. Dr. Culver and then Pastor Thompson.
Well, I think that is the $50,000 question. Will the Boy Scouts allow a congregation's moral stance to dictate or not? And at least from the standpoint of the Missouri Synod, we're unclear yet will the Boy Scouts honor the agreement that they made with the Missouri Synod back in 1944 or not. So I think that's the question that needs further exploration and answers. Now, we do know that these Lutheran-only or Roman Catholic-only or Mormon-only troops are going to be allowed. And I presume that's probably why the Roman Catholic Church has not advocated a withdrawal from scoutings, and in a similar manner, why the Mormons have not said we're going to leave scouting.
Yeah, on that subject, and I think Dr. Culver is exactly right. That's the key question, and Herman, you brought it up, and I appreciate you bringing that to the fore. I believe based on my experience, and we're still waiting to hear from the scouts an affirmation of this. But I believe that if this is treated the same way any other religious belief is treated, for example, as an LCMS congregation chartering a troop, because we have people who hold different religious beliefs as members of our troop, does not compromise what we stand for as a congregation. And that would include the area of sexuality. I would be surprised if the scouts said that in order to charter this, you have to make a statement that you approve of a homosexual orientation as a godly lifestyle. I do not believe that will be the case. But again, as Dr. Culver said, we haven't heard clarification from the Boy Scouts on that, and we're hoping to hear that.
So we're still waiting for answers, but does that kind of answer your question for now, I guess, Herman?
Yes, it focuses on it. I used to be an adult advisory council member of the local scout group, and about the year 2000, when they went to the Supreme Court to get the right to prohibit adult homosexual men from serving as scoutmasters, which the court approved of on the right of association, which the scout organization took a lot of effort and time and expense to do in order to protect young boys from that type of abuse that had started to rise as a scandal. And it seems to me that this compromise of a sort is sort of more or less a response to public relations pressure than necessarily really thoroughly thought out.
Any response?
Well, I mean, there definitely has been public pressure on it. I do think that they have spent a lot of time reflecting on it and trying to figure out the best resolution. But that's back to that first issue that I raised. Is this a good move by the BSA? And they're here we can have definitely an honest and healthy disagreement on that. I hate to see any kind of group in our culture cave to an agenda that isn't biblically sound, but we see it happen all the time. So,
well, thank you for your questions and comments today, Herman.
Thank you.
So it's still something yet that needs to unfold. There are still many questions yet to be answered as we see over the days ahead. Anything else that needs to be defined? You've painted a clear picture that it has to be defined as to what the congregation can and cannot do, that charters a group that's open to anyone. Anything else that still needs to be clearly defined?
I don't know. I think we've talked through quite a few of the main issues. Maybe a little bit of reiteration of some of the points might be in order. Again, the particular resolution passed, and I'll just read it, actually. I mean, it's not very lengthy. The whole resolution is, but the part that changed isn't. And if I may?
Sure.
Okay. It's one paragraph. Youth membership in the Boy Scouts of America is open to all youth who meet the specific membership requirements to join the Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Varsity Scout, Sea Scout, and Venturing programs. Membership in any program of the Boy Scouts of America requires the youth member to be A, subscribe to and abide by the values in the Scout Oath and Scout Law, B, subscribe to and abide by the precepts of the Declaration of Religious Principle, that is, duty to God, and C, demonstrate behavior that exemplifies the highest level of good conduct and respect for others, and is consistent at all times with the values expressed in the Scout Oath and Scout Law. And now this last sentence is the change. No youth may be denied membership in the Boy Scouts of America on the basis of sexual orientation or preference alone. Now, sexual orientation or preference means what they believe to be their, what they believe about sexuality, we'll put it that way. And in the whereas statements in the resolution, they make clear in reaffirming that scouting is a program, any sexual conduct, whether heterosexual or homosexual, by youth or scouting is contrary to the virtues of scouting. And so It's what they believe about sexuality, what they believe about their own sexuality, is what they're saying they're no longer using as a membership standard. But they are not to be engaged in any kind of behavior like that, mm-hmm. heterosexual or homosexual. They are not to promote a particular political agenda, okay? And I was going to say one other thing, and the thought just lost me. Okay.
Pastor Culver, what until some of these things, until this is clearly defined, what does this mean for LCMS congregations who charter?
Well, the short answer is we're not entirely sure. Some questions I'd like to know is if you are a Lutheran or a Christian scout leader, and if a boy came to you and told you he's confused about his orientation, what would this policy change want you to say? Would you be able to uphold your Christian view and say, we don't believe that homosexuality is a correct lifestyle? Or would the scout oath or the scout policy change require you to say, well, you need to figure this out yourself and not express what you believe is true from the scriptures? If the scouts are going to bind your conscience, then that's mm-hmm. a different question. That becomes problematic. In the Missouri Synod, the Synod itself is only advisory, so no matter how this works out, the Synod will only advise congregations, and congregations and pastors will make up their own minds on how to proceed. There are some potential legal issues. If, for instance, you excluded people from the scouts on the basis of their sexual orientation, but you had other organizations like AA or Meals on Wheels or any other of these other organizations that use your facilities, and you don't prohibit them on the same basis, there are potential legal issues. These are all questions that we haven't worked out, and that the Synod itself can't really make an advisory comment until we really understand what all of these various issues are. And we have a question, too, about where will this lead. Today, scouts cannot be denied membership alone for their sexual orientation. Where will this go? Will it eventually lead to leaders? And mm-hmm. so these are things, is it the beginning of a slippery slope? These are things we don't know.
It creates more questions.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Right.
And you bring up a good point. If the congregation is restricted in some ways, it could close the door to opportunities. As you mentioned, if a boy or a young man comes to a scout leader in a church and says that he's confused about his sexual orientation in a church, especially with a pastor or a faithful leader, they could respond with truth and compassion. If these guidelines restrict what the congregation can do in response to that, that could really close the door to a truly evangelical opportunity, truly an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with someone who's struggling with this, to proclaim the law, but also to proclaim the gospel in that situation. So does it create questions and problems? Does it create a threat to religious freedom for us down the road? And I guess that's probably what you're getting at, is it a slippery slope? What kind of opportunities could it create down the road for us as well?
One is, right. Is your conscience bound? That's something that we can't abide by, is having your conscience bound. No pastor should be put in a position of saying, well, I know what I want to tell you, but I can't because I'm involved in the Scouts and you're involved in the Scouts, mm-hmm. or a faithful lay leader.
And that is the question. And like I said, if you look at precedent, if that was, let's say, a scout approached any member of that church or the pastor and asked him a religious question about faith, we are not restricted in any way of what we share about Jesus is the only way of salvation, what we believe. Now, we can't require the person to hold that same belief to be a member there, but we can freely proclaim what we believe regarding salvation, and that also is regarding life. And that's why I'm hopeful that that that's where things will come down, but we'll have to wait and see.
Pastor Culver, you had mentioned earlier, we were talking about the other organizations that are out there, and we talked about the Lutheran Rangers, the Pioneers, and On My Honor. When we were talking about On My Honor, it brought up that I can't remember who it was, mentioned that it's primarily an evangelical group. Would that be, what kind of challenges would that present? Would that pose a question of unionism for a Lutheran to join a group like that?
Well, you know, this is an interesting question. The Missouri Synod historically has typically not been in favor of prayer in public school. And that seems odd maybe at first, but the reason being is the Lutheran Church has said, well, if you have some sort of a generic Christian prayer or a prayer that, you know, I accept Jesus into my heart now, which is against Lutheran theology, that would actually be more harmful than actually having the prayer. And so I think groups like On My Honor, if they construct themselves to honor the specific religious beliefs and doctrinal positions of, let's say, Lutherans and other groups, it could be okay. If they take a particular evangelical Christian bent, it might, in fact, be more problematic than being part of the Boy Scouts of America.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Interesting. We have a couple of callers and only a couple of minutes left. Let's see if we can go to Tom. Are you with us?
Yes.
It is the Tom Baker.
Well, real quickly, in answer to one of your questions, we've been working with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Havana, Illinois, who did send a letter to the Boy Scouts. And one of the items that they indicated is point four of their letter. We also agree with Albert Fretwell, a chief scout executive, who wrote, "We recognize that there is no Boy Scout authority which supersedes the authority of the local pastor and the congregation in any phase of the program affecting the spiritual welfare of Lutheran men and boys in scouting." We're waiting to see if that still is in place, but it would give total authority to the spiritual teaching by the head of the congregation, the pastor, and therefore we would be able to teach that homosexual activity outside and heterosexual conduct outside the marriage bond is contrary to our virtues also, as the Boy Scout statement says. That's all I have.
Well said, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. So with about 1 minute left, Pastor Thompson, your final thoughts?
Well, as I've had to deal with this issue, I am hopeful as we move forward that it could produce something of a positive impact on our congregations and our outreach to our scout troops. Because if it makes, as Dr. Culver mentioned earlier, you know, we have a lot of maybe abdication of responsibility and looking out for the spiritual well-being of our scout troops. Maybe this will cause congregations to get more engaged in their scout troops and lead them spiritually.
Pastor Culver, with just a couple of seconds left.
Well, I hope that this it serves as a stimulus to wake up Missouri Synod people to some of the challenges we're facing in our society. This is, I believe, just the beginning. I think we will be facing some religious freedom aspects in the future, and we need to be active and stand up for what we believe and be faithful in the public square.
Thank you both for joining us today on this crucial, controversial topic, I'm sure, as well. Thanks for being willing to take a stand. We appreciate your time here today. Join us tomorrow on Faith and Family as we continue our discussion on hot topics. We'll be discussing when to start addressing the issue of boyfriends and girlfriends here on Faith and Family. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next on Worldwide KFUO.